All right, so this is called the afterburn. So we do have a little bit of time here before we break for our dinner meal. So if you have comments or questions, the microphone stands right over here. If you're on live stream, of course, we've got our Shamash team there to take down your comments and questions. All right, we'll begin with Rocky.
Thank you, Rabbi. If I make it until this fall feast, it'll be 3 years that I've been Torah pursuant. And thank you. So first I came, and then I came to, and then I came to believe. And there's been something since I've came here, since I've started watching you. It's like, what is this? What is it with this man? And I've said it before, and it's this kindness. I realized that you have more kindness in your little finger than I've had in my whole body.
I appreciate that.
Thank you. But it was even deeper than that. I only have like a fifth grade education. So I have this book that I look up these Hebrew words. I can't read the Hebrew word, but I can read the English. And the word kindness in Hebrew means useful, useful. Yeah, I hate when I do that. Usefulness. The things that you've gave me that are so useful, I mean, it makes me want to weep at times. I mean, the love that pours out of you and that kindness just shows. You're the most useful man I've ever met.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Look, I want to say something. I could be up here, right? You guys put your money in the box and we're doing enough to have a nice living and we do different things and it's all nice. And I could just give you something that sounds all impressive, how I can interpret scripture and stuff for you. But I would be like all the other teachers and pastors up here who really didn't care about you. I don't know if you can feel it or not. I know Rocky can. That's why he said what he said. But I actually genuinely care about you making it or not. Okay? And so, and that maybe comes across as harsh or cold or this or that, but it wouldn't be actual kindness to you for me to just ignore the realities that you struggle with, that I'm aware of, and I'm aware of them because you guys counsel and I interact, and I know the things that we struggle with. It's not anything different than we see in the book that people struggle with for centuries. But the thing is, you need to know that this is coming from a place of, I don't have to do this, but I have to do this, because that's what he called me to do, okay? With a much smaller ministry, and doing something less, the way I do it, there still would be enough money in the box for me to be able to pay my bills and feed my family and do the work that needs to get done. I said, it's not about that. It's about that would not be useful I think that'd be useless, in my opinion. And so I don't want to hold back things I think you need to hear, things you need to have somebody give you a smacking wake-up call and to say, hello, wake up. It's time to do this, all right? And I want you to know that comes from a genuine love, okay? I really do want every one of you to get there, okay? Like, I care about that. I don't care about all the nonsense you guys bring me all the time. I care about you getting there. That's what's important to me. All right, thank you. All right, Deirdre.
I just want to say before I ask my question, thank you, because you have said to me that every single father in my life, every single stepfather in my life, never said to me. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I do not want this to sound like a cop-out, and I know that you will correct me and tell me it is if it is. I also know that some of the ladies are probably not going to, they're going to like this, or they're going to hate me afterwards. I get the worst in my behavior. Let me restart, sorry. How does one with conditions like I have, PCOS, Hashimoto's. How do you curb, how do we as women curb our behavior when things are just really, really gross for us? Because I know that, and at the risk of sounding irreverent, if Messiah had come and he had allowed himself to be a woman instead of a man, I don't care what would have been affecting him, he would still act the way that he did. He would still be strong, and he would be respectful, and he would... Is it what I'm saying makes sense?
Okay, so the thing that we need to understand, it did make sense. Okay. I mean, so thankfully one of the things that Abba gives me is the ability to understand things that aren't, like, fully expressed.
You speak my language, basically.
Well, that's my version of speaking in tongues, okay? No, seriously. No, I don't mean that as a joke. I mean, when people talk, I tend to understand exactly what they're trying to say, even though they really didn't say it, okay? Because it's hard to get the words out sometimes. And then they'll look at me like, yes, that's exactly what I was trying to say. So that's a gift I really appreciate that he's given me. Now, what we need to understand is that there's the battlefield of the mind. The body has issues. The mind has issues too. We have people that do have mental health issues as well. And, you know, when you talk about Yeshua, we're talking about him having a sound mind and having some of the physical problems that you have. And so with the mind, we can win the battle over the body, okay? It's not easy. The body is still going to do the things it does to challenge our mental state, our emotional state. But you can and need to find those workarounds, okay? Everybody, whatever you're struggling with, you need to own it, so you need to know that that's your struggle. Okay, we're not just talking about things that you can fix. You might not be able to fix this. But once you own that struggle, then you have to find your workarounds. I have Hashimoto's. I have whatever the other one you said was. Well, then you need to know what you can and what you can't do. And with the things that you can't do, you need to figure out the workarounds. In other words, what can you do to accomplish similar things or to have others to help you do what you can't do so that things still get done? In other words, finding a path to the result, okay? All right? You're the mouse going through the maze looking for the cheese. And certain dead ends you run into on a regular enough basis. Well, guess what? At some point, you have to find the path that gets you there. And so the normal path that you might want to normally go doesn't work so well for you now because your body is not behaving the same way because you now have problems with that. So find the workarounds, okay? Look, I wear glasses. That's a very natural workaround for your eyes getting worse, for your vision getting worse, so you wear glasses. You know, you get certain physical ailments, you might have a cane or a walker or something. There are things you can do to still accomplish the goal, which is moving around or reading. So you need to figure out the workarounds in your life that need to come into play for the things you no longer do as easily as you could do before, or maybe some things you can't do at all that you used to do before, okay? But that's a battle up here. It starts with believing you can do it and committing to do that, saying, I know I can figure out a way to make this work. I just don't know how to do it yet. All right?
Okay. So things like making sure your supplements or medication is right, taking a break if you need to, being patient with yourself and saying you failed this time, but you're going to get it next time, things like that.
Okay. So let's take them one at a time. So let's say not taking your supplements like you're supposed to. Well, then you need to figure out either a way to have a reminder system, a reminder on your phone, have a person that reminds you. In other words, figure out a way to have a backup to you remembering to do it yourself, okay? Having an alternative way to remember it, those kind of things, all right? So anything that you're struggling with, say, okay, I need to accomplish this on a regular basis, and I'm not getting it done. First, try to figure out why you're not getting it done. Maybe you can simply address what's causing that. If you can't, then you have to come up with another idea. You know, people struggled waking up on time. Guess what they invented? An alarm clock. Okay? Because it needed to have a way to wake you up if you don't naturally wake up on time. All right? If you're my wife, it's a little bit weirder. You set the alarm clock so that you know you'll wake up 5 minutes before because you hate the sound of the alarm clock. So being married, I never heard her alarm clock ever go off. But she always set it and woke up 5 minutes before so she wouldn't have to hear it. You have to do, but if she didn't set it, she wouldn't get up like that, right? So she'd set it and wake up. Anyway, but you have to figure out what works for you. We had lots of challenges getting this building the way it needed to be. We got a new flooring system. It worked, but it didn't work. So we had some challenges, and I came up with, others came up. We had different creative ideas to try to make it the still imperfect but very functional floor that you have now. But it takes belief that there is a solution. And then you open up the possibilities to solutions. Then you can involve a mastermind group, in other words, people you know that love you, and ask them, hey, do you have any ideas how I can accomplish this? I'm struggling in this area. I need some ideas. Okay? It's called a mastermind when you have other people add their minds to yours trying to come up with an idea. So whatever you struggle with, first figure out if you can identify why. If it's something that can be addressed, address it. If it's not, then find the workaround. Okay? And that's the best way to go about it. All right? Like I've already, you know, have my workaround is I have, when people want to do things with me or make appointments, I have Billy now. When they used to just go to me and make appointments with me, I'm not good with that. I forget, I don't write them down or whatever. I need somebody to tell me, don't forget your 4 o'clock appointment, don't forget your 1 o'clock appointment. And almost always I said, thank you, because I forgot. All right? But I now have a workaround in place, recognizing an area that I have a struggle with because I get distracted with the 75 other things. It's an excuse or a reason, depending on whichever way you look at it. But I made the effort to have now a workaround, okay? So learn yourself, own it, and then do your creative thought for workarounds.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All of you take what I just gave her and use it in whatever area in your life that fits. Because you all have that. All right? All right. Becky.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
I had an epiphany when you were talking. Verse 15, and let the peace of Elohim rule in your hearts. So the idea that it's an active thing that he wants to have happen. Do you have any, I don't know, words of wisdom, suggestions on how to sometimes allow that? The last 12 months plus have kind of felt like a continual Egypt exodus for our family with just constant turmoil and roadblocks and hurdles and all kinds of things. And I can manage them and move forward with them for a time. And then it's like something really stupid just sends me over the edge as like my last layer. And I have this full on meltdown that it's not helpful, but also like, I know that it's not the thing that caused it, but the root of all the things, you know, contributed to it. And so I'm just hopeful that maybe you have some ways for how I can let there be peace when I have those moments of overwhelm.
All right. So when it says, let the peace of Elohim dwell in you. So what is the peace of Elohim? The Elohim has peace because, well, why does he have peace in all the situations? Because of the way he perceives in the situation, right? The way he looks at it. So when you're going through the stuff you're going through, stop, pause, and say, how does he look at this? And now you're looking at it. You know how you're looking at it. And you're like, but it's his peace. See, people want to think of this more from a Christianity point of view, like it's something that he just puts in you like it's a spiritual thing and he just, this thing called Elohim's peace comes into you. No, he says, have his peace in you because you look at it the way he looks at it. And he has peace. So why does he have peace? Well, when he looks at it, he's not offended. When he looks at it, he knows it's a slow down or interfering thing, but ultimately you're going to get there, whatever. I mean, so he has a different perspective. Maybe it's because he's zoomed out more and he sees the bigger picture. Maybe because he's not taking it as personally. Maybe because, you see, there's lots of reasons. But you want to do is pause and say, okay, I want the peace of Elohim. To get that, I have to ask myself, how does he look at what's going on right now? How would he be perceiving all this? Does that help? Okay. Mr. Jonathan Thompson.
Shalom, shalom, Rabbi.
Shalom.
Good to be here. It's actually coming off of 15 as well. But when you were explaining that the word of Messiah, and then you went to Philippians, the mind, the thought came to my mind of the teaching when you were explaining that there's some points where we can, it's interchangeable. We can put the...
Everywhere.
Okay.
Everywhere so, you see the word, where you see the Torah, where you see Yeshua, where you see light, where you see life, you can put all of those in there.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So you could expound, you know, when it says, let the word of Messiah, like the light of Messiah, let the Torah of Messiah, let the word of Messiah, like the life of Messiah dwell richly in you. You can interchange all of those to give you the much more full understanding of what that is talking about. Okay. Excellent. Okay, Anna.
Hi, Rabbi. So with verse 14 and 15...
Wait, I should have you tell Rob the question and let Rob read it, because that's what you normally do, isn't it? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Anna's usually online asking questions.
Recently, I've been really struggling with the idea of loving, because I... had a friend who was Torah observant, and she just randomly told me that she didn't want to be my friend anymore. And after that, I just kind of went numb. I felt like I went numb. At first, I thought that it was Yah giving me peace. But then as I went through time, I realized that I had actually just blocked it out. So my main question is, how do you not become hard-hearted when it comes to the idea of love? And how do you know when you're hard-hearted?
Okay. All right. Good question. Okay. So again, the response is dealing with the same problem we were talking about before, which is, you know, when we're looking at this big picture of love in a right, full Yeshua way, or joy or peace and the things that are the fruit of the Spirit, we can't really have them in those fleshly places because we're too much self in there. So when somebody says they're not going to be your friend anymore, and you thought you got love from them, they were friends, so you felt that friend love and you felt that connection, and now they've cut that off, you can have hurt feelings. You can feel abandonment. You can feel rejected, okay? But that's only if you have the self there. Without the self there, you should be simply asking the question, is there anything that I did? I can reach out and find out. If they tell me, great. If they don't, they might not. And if there's something that I can do, then I can do it or not, if you want to. But if you come to find out that you don't get the answer you want and nobody's giving you the information you want and you're just cut off, you have to have peace with that being something that you don't have anything you can do. See, at some point, we have to not struggle with our emotions in places that we're completely, there's nothing we can do, okay? Where we've had this, there's nothing to do. Unless a person gives you an opportunity, right, to have information as to why something happened and what you can maybe do about it, you're basically in this place of nothing you can do. And that's hard to have peace with. I have a lot of people that are struggling, relationships that ended, and they didn't get a good answer or a good feeling or a good reasoning about why the relationship ended. And people that were dating maybe towards marriage and then it ended breaking up, whatever it was, or friendships that ended. It's hard enough if they tell you why and there's not much you can do about it, or frustrating because you don't understand that. But it's a lot harder when you have this unknown you can't get an answer to. Ultimately, though, it comes down to the same thing. You have to care about the person, but not care about this result. Because you only can do what you can do. Okay? So don't get frustrated with what you can't do. All right? If at some point I'm right-handed, if at some point I lost the use of my right hand, I would become very frustrated that I can't. And maybe I never found out why. I just can't use it anymore. It could be frustrating, and I could get bitter, angry, and all these other things. But ultimately, I'm going to need to learn to use my left the same way I used my right. Okay? If a friendship ends, other friendships will come unless you become cold and bitter and hard-hearted and take it to that place. Sometimes the door closes. Sometimes it opens up again. Sometimes it doesn't. And we have to not have so much emotional investment in that one thing. There should be enough for us to maybe reach out and make an attempt to find out. Not in a like, hey, how come you don't talk to me anymore? But just like, hey, I noticed that you're not, you know, that you seem to have ended our friendship. I just want to know if there's a reason that you would be willing to share, or if there's something I can do, maybe I can fix it or whatever, because I'd still like to be friends. And, you know, so if that attempt goes without result, then you have to have peace and just be sad to that. You know, it's kind of like when we mourn the loss of a loved one, that grieving process. You could be sad for a period of time, but you're gonna have to let that go at some point and realize that that loss is not going to ruin everything in your life. It's just a part of your life that isn't going to be there anymore. And there's going to be other parts of your life that you need to now give attention to that will now fill that love need, okay? That person who's no longer in your life used to supply. But you now have to be open and ready for Abba to give you a new source of that same stuff. Does that help? Okay. All right. So the hard-hearted question as to how do you know you're being hard-hearted is when, Anna, when you're not ready to have anybody new come and replace that, because you really still want it from that one person who's not giving it to you. And so it shouldn't matter the source, okay? It shouldn't matter where it comes from. It's okay to prefer it to come from one person or another, and it's sad when it doesn't. But if you're not ready and optimistic, you'll miss it when it can come from another person, and you won't be able to receive it. And that would be even more sad. Okay? Pete?
Thank you, Rabbi. I want to go back to verse 18 because something jumped out at me that I hadn't really noticed before. And it's the only verse in here that's talking about the proper relationships where it says your own. Wives, subject yourselves to your own husbands as is proper in the master. And it doesn't use that term anywhere else, which tells me that maybe the problem is that the wives have been seeking direction from other men because the men weren't stepping up. And I think that reference in here as is proper in the master, because we're taught you can't serve two masters. You got one, right. You need to be taking it from him. And husbands, you need to step up and do what you're supposed to do to love your wives properly. Is that possible?
Yes, and that's, I think I tried to say that, but maybe I didn't make it as clear as what you're asking. So now, because that's why I like these afterburns. It gives me a chance to like reiterate and clarify. Look, in the vertical structure, in this case, it's giving a wife and a husband, there's a proper person to go to. And in that case, it's the husband, not somebody else's husband or some other man. Just like if you're in a, you're here serving at the event. Now, let's say you're serving in the kitchen, okay? Or you're serving in the safety team, or you're serving whatever, it doesn't matter. There is a person you know is the supervisor for that thing. And let's say you're having a problem. It'd be wrong for you to go to a supervisor of the kitchen if you're having a problem in safety, okay? It'd be wrong to go to the supervisor in the YM2I program if you're having a problem in the janitorial. You understand what I'm saying? You should go to the person who actually has the right authority that you're supposed to be looking towards for what you need. So when you seek somebody else's husband, when you have a husband, or you're seeking another man, then you're not doing the proper vertical thing. And because I have people all the time, I'll say, well, who told you that? Because I'll be running off in some direction. Well, I got that from leadership. What leadership? Who told you? And then they tell me it's not someone in leadership. It's someone maybe who's on the staff, who's got a certain authority over something, but not in the actual leadership that they should have been getting it from. But yet people go to who they're comfortable going to. They go get the answer whether or not, you know what, I like this person. They're not a doctor, but I'll ask them medical questions because I like them. Doesn't make any sense, okay, if you have a medical issue, okay? But, you know, or I really like my doctor. I don't really like my accountant, so I'm going to ask my doctor accounting questions. You know, you need to talk to the person that actually is in the best position and the proper position to give you the help you need. And so, but what if you're thinking, well, my husband doesn't give me any of that? Well, then you need to then go to the next level up, not sideways, which would be whoever's covering your husband, okay? We go to where we're supposed to go or up, not sideways or down. Most of the time you talk to your friends or other people that are actually sideways or down. You don't go up like you're supposed to. And that's where it all goes bad. Did that help?
That did. And there was one other thing you said, you talked a little while ago about like a mouse going through a maze, going to the cheese. And that really took me back to verse one here. Where it says, seek the matters which are above where the Messiah is, which tells me, what is your cheese? Because if your cheese is the matters above, if your cheese is being more Yeshua-like and seeking the things of Elohim, if that's your cheese, then you'll avoid doing all these horrible things he talks about. But if your cheese is worldly, if what you're seeking is things to satisfy your own living here, then you're going to fall into those fleshly things.
Exactly. Well said.
Hi, Rabbi.
Hi. And what's your name?
It's Annabelle.
Hi, Annabelle. I'm from you got to put the mic right
okay.
there.
I'm from Odessa, Texas, and we flew down here.
I've been to Odessa, Texas.
That's great.
I don't know why anybody would do that, but I've been there. No, I'm kidding.
It's very
no, listen, everybody I met in Odessa wished they didn't live there. That was not my fault, okay? It is where I got to see my very first tumbleweed, though.
Yeah. Yes, we have plenty of those.
The size of a small car, but yes.
Yes.
Okay.
With meaning the word love, you know.
Bring the mic right up.
Okay. It's because I'm really loud already. So
don't worry about it. I'll take care of it in the back. Be loud.
Okay. So
they can deal with me, they can deal with you.
Okay. So the word, you know, when we go to love, and to me, I haven't been listening to you very long. It's been about a year. I had left and then came back to the room, and your teaching was on Shavuot. And I was just drawn to this. And when I think about people, they say love, you know, it's all the cuddly stuff, but love is pulling you out of something that's endangering you. And you've done that in my life. And I know that this congregation here is very, very blessed, because in Odessa, we don't have very many congregations over there. And yeah, so, but anyway, I just wanted to say y'all are very blessed for the ones that are here. You have really changed my life. And I brought my brother in, and he came. He's here too, and my daughter, and we've all said that you have changed our life completely.
Amen, amen. Bless you. All right, live stream. I didn't leave you too much time, but hopefully I left you enough time. Let's see what we can get done here.
It'd be easy, Rabbi. We only got one question.
There you go.
So,
because most of the people that ask are sitting in this room. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah. Anna Uden's here.
Yeah.
So, M2Y Philippines, Jet Singh says, Rabbi, how do you encourage the body to fully submit to the structure and to just focus on the good word instead of getting offended of the delivery?
Okay, and I should have known if there was going to be only one question, it would have been Jet. So there you go. All right, so look, the bottom line is when it comes to the vertical structure, there's only several ways that that could work. One way is that you come and try it and you see that it works. Another way is you try it, you don't do what you're supposed to do, you get smacked pretty hard by the Father because things go badly in your life, and then you come back and realize maybe I should have listened. to the instructions I was given. And the third way is to have you guys, including you, Jet, right, who have counseled, who have gotten the vertical in the correct way and utilized the structure to give witness to others so that they would be encouraged to try it themselves. It's all well and good for me to say it. Because you know what happens? The people that don't want to do it all think, you ready for this? This is, Billy, this is going to sound crazy. You guys all think that somehow it benefits me. That you guys all call me and bring all your problems and do all the kind of, so you don't want to do it because you think somehow there's something in it for me. There is nothing in this for me. There is everything possibly in it for you. Okay? But you need to hear that from somebody who experienced it. Okay? I hate counseling. Well, actually, I don't anymore. I used to. But you know what? I've seen people, their lives literally changed, and so I love it. All right? But it takes so much of my time. It's not really the thing I thought I came into this to do. But I will do it all day and all night if it's needed, because it's probably the most beneficial thing to people that already have access to their book and they already have access to teachings online. What they then need is somebody to help them sort through all the junk that they're struggling with. This is not designed for you to figure out just reading the book and watching a teaching. You need mentoring, okay? The scripture calls it discipleship. And so you have to come and get that help. So I can say it all I want. It wouldn't make any difference. The best thing for you to do is, I know, and some of you are thinking, oh yeah, that person, they're just whatever, and that person. But you hear all these testimonies. What, do you think they're all just making it up? And by the way, many of them have told you, I smacked them pretty good in some of those counselings. But they needed it, and they admitted that they needed it, and it benefited them. So stop being afraid, or for most of you guys, let go of the ego and the pride. Well, I'm too embarrassed to go talk to the rabbi. What? Do you think I don't know and everybody else doesn't know you have problems? I mean, let's be honest. Do you think that there's anybody in this room isn't looking at everybody else in this room going, man, everybody here has got problems? Okay. So why should you be ashamed or embarrassed or prideful about coming to see me? Because I'm going to know what your problem is? If I've interacted with you for more than a half a dozen times, I probably already know what your problem is. You're not hiding it from people. You think you are, but you're not. But whether or not you're going to come and get help for it, that's the question. That's where it really comes down. Amen? All right. Was that it, Rob?
Yeah, there's something that just popped up, but I don't know if it's... Mary Luna says, can you please explain it? Because my husband thinks very different than I do.
All right. Actually, I don't even know what to necessarily believe. Because, I mean, you can think very different in both and be understanding it from a different way than whatever your guys are laughing about. That's fine. Look. Submission is when you do what the one above you wants you to do and you don't want to or you don't agree. Okay? That's submission. So I'm the husband and I tell my wife, I need you to do this. And she doesn't want to do it. And she thinks I'm wrong or doesn't agree with me telling her that she needs to do it. And she does it anyway, that would be submission. Or telling her, no, you can't do that, and she doesn't agree, and she doesn't want to listen to me, but she does it anyway. She listens and doesn't do it, whatever. That's submission. It's not submission until you don't agree or you don't like the decision. If you agree, it's not submission. I've had a husband and wife sit in front of me, and the wife goes, I'm always submissive. And then he's like, yes, when you agree with what I say. That's not submission. That's agreement. Submission is, I am submerging what I want for what you want, or what I would do for what you would do, because you have the authority. If I want and you agree with it, we're just walking in agreement. Okay? So ladies, you haven't submitted once if you agreed with your husband on anything, or you just wanted to do it. It's in those moments when you didn't like his choice, you didn't like his decision, and you then do it anyway. You follow and submit to his authority anyway. All right. Men, let's be careful that submission doesn't mean that you are now the boss dictator. All right. Submission is something you use very, very sparingly where necessary. In other words, where if the thing that you're putting your foot down on is not handled the way you think it should, you believe something adverse, something bad is going to happen. Financially, health-wise, something wrong, bad is gonna happen. I don't mean like bad, wrong, like you don't, you know, it's not gonna be something you prefer. I mean, something actually is gonna be a problem. You ask my wife, I say yes to almost everything because I really have learned not to care about almost anything unless it's actually important. Where we eat in restaurants isn't important. What we watch on the TV is not important. I know that's hard for you guys, okay? My wife walks in the room when I'm in the middle of watching stuff and she asks if she can watch something. I take the controller, I hand it to her, I said, whatever you want to do, okay? Because I want to put my foot down only when it's important. And as the man, what's on the TV is not important. Now there's times, let's say something like when the thing started with Ukraine, and it just started, I said, no, I need to watch this right now because I need to know what's going on. Now, 30 days into it, I don't need to watch it as much. You understand what I'm saying? But when something just happens, I might say, I need to watch this. You understand what I'm saying? Otherwise, go ahead. You're supposed to be, as the man, providing, giving. You're not the receiver. She desires something, if it's appropriate and it's not going to hurt anything, give it to her. Ladies, don't get all them yeses, though, and don't be able to take that no. Because then when that no comes, you throw a fit. And I, you know, so I told my wife, I said, you'll get those 100 yeses, but I don't want to hear a single word on that no. You won't get many. That's why I call it 100 yeses. I don't count, but you understand what I'm saying? Okay, but if I say no, I don't want an argument. You can ask a question, and I can explain it to you, but I don't want an argument. We can't do, or we're not going to do, or this is the way it's got to be, because that's what I feel right now strongly is important. But don't waste that on something that's not important. I mean important objectively, not subjectively, because it's just what you want. Okay? But something that's actually important. We can't buy that right now. We just don't have the money for that. Or we can't do this right now because of this or whatever. Those are usually the no's, okay? However she wants the house, it's your house. Do what you want with it, okay? However you want this, however you want that. You ask my opinion, I'll give you my opinion when you want mine. But I'm here to provide for her. But I'm also to protect and keep things safe and those kind of things, right? So submission is trusting when you don't agree and you don't like the choice, but you do it anyway. And you don't whine about it. You don't walk around like you're sucking on a pickle. And you don't call all your girlfriends up and say what a brute and horrible husband you have because he said no to you. Aw. Okay? Spoiled. All right. We're almost done here. Okay. And your name is?
Sandy.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi. Verse 3, for you have died and your life has been hidden with Messiah and Elohim. And then you explained, verse 4, when our life is manifested, then you also be manifested with him in his name.
Yes.
My question is why?
Why what?
Why are we hidden?
Okay, why is he hidden? It's the same thing, okay? Does the world generally see Yeshua correctly? No. Do they generally see the Father correctly? No. So these things are hidden, right? When you choose to become like them, you become hidden to a certain degree. They can't understand why you're doing what you're doing and these changes in your life, just like they don't understand him the way you understand him. But when he is revealed to them, you will be revealed to them. Does that make sense now? Okay. All right, that's going to wrap it up here. All right, I'm going to go ahead and close us with a blessing. Actually, you know what? I'll give you the ironic blessing. If I can get to that page, there we go. If you'll all rise. Actually, it's unleavened bread. Stand up. Yivracha Yahweh v'yishmeracha. Yayah Yahweh penav elecha v'yichunecha. Isa Yahweh penav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of Yeshua our Messiah, who alone is our Prince of Peace, we pray. Amen. The Amen. Amen.